I'm Dimi Roberts, stage and studio. We're listening to music from Hedda, a world premiere dance piece focusing on Ibsen's Hedda Gabler. It's choreographed by Sarah Slipper, artistic director of Northwest Dance Project. And I'll be talking with her and dancer Andrea Parson, who performs the title role of Hedda. And we'll also get some shout-outs from some theater productions that I've had a chance to see, which are not to be missed. We're going to hear about those. We're doing another woman-centric show for Women's History Month, so stay tuned. This is Stage and Studio. I'm Dimi Roberts. With me in the KBOO studio is Sarah Slipper, Artistic Director of Northwest Dance Project. Welcome back, Sarah.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's been a while, and you look fabulous, I must say.
Oh, thank you.
You really, yeah. I mean, just incredible. Anyway, it's been a couple years, so I'm just pleased to see you. And also with her is dancer Andrea Parson. Welcome to Stage and Studio.
Hi.
It's good to have you here, first-timer.
First-timer.
And so you're both here from the world premiere production of Hedda, and I want to welcome you both to Stage and Studio. Now, the classic play, Hedda Gabler, by Henrik Ibsen, it shocked audiences, much in the same way that Ibsen's A Dollhouse did in the late 1800s. Both plays questioned the societal confines of women's roles during the Victorian period. Women were restricted not only by Victorian values, but they were prevented from having really any real lives of their own at the time. And there were just these so many constraints and boundaries that needed to be broken and that weren't defined by men. And so Hedda Gabler, throughout the play, struggles with her sense of emptiness and lack of purpose of her own. And there's a shocking ending to the play, which I won't spoil if you've never seen Hedda Gabler. But just as A Dollhouse caused many ripples in Victorian society, so did Hedda Gabler. Sarah, what does the play Hedda Gabler mean to you?
Well, I've always been very excited by Ibsen's work. And so about a year ago, when I was thinking of what I would be planning for next season, I was very inspired. I love strong woman characters. And funny, I actually was thinking of maybe doing Ghosts by Ibsen.
Really?
And, yeah.
Do you have an affinity to Ibsen's work?
I do, because I find, in as you mentioned, A Doll's House and obviously the iconic Hedda Gabler, really dealing with a strong woman, whether morally correct or not. But and I'm fascinated, I am drawn to characters, narrative that works with leading women characters. There's so few of them, and so I'm very, very, very drawn to the work and of his work particularly. He's brilliant. He's a master.
Well, what
with the
does
words.
Hedda say to you, the character itself?
Well, she's not a very nice woman. And
well, she doesn't try to be like really likable.
Exactly.
Just, yeah, she's just who she is.
And she is morally corrupt, and she's very manipulative. She's bored, as you said, with life. But it provides such great material to feed off of, because of the way she interacts with all the other characters that Ibsen introduced in the play. And I love actually working with conflict, both as a choreographer physically and then emotionally, character-wise. It gives me great opportunity on the stage to use that tension point. So this play, I thought, would be kind of ideal for our company. They've become really strong, both as dancers, but they've also developed really an ability to characterize on stage the company. And so I wanted a work that I could challenge them with.
Well, the production photos show a more modern Hedda Gabler.
Very contemporary take.
So how does Hedda Gabler speak to contemporary women?
I think, I knew when I wanted to do this work that I didn't want to do a period piece. I wanted to bring it into contemporary life. It would relate more with the company dancers. And she's, I think, a character that could easily exist today. I mean, you know, trying to have her own stance, but, I mean, trying to fight for space, trying, you know, she's trapped. I mean, we still, I think women are still pushing boundaries. And, you know, whether we feel we have, quote, more rights today or not, but I do feel characters like this still exist, still interact. And so to me, the character is still pretty relevant. And I knew that even the characters of the men, I didn't want to make an old man. I wanted very contemporary, handsome looking gentlemen, which we have plenty of, and sort of really bring kind of a contemporary youth to the whole work. And I think all the qualities still could exist today, characters like this. You know, it's, he wrote all this work, as you said, but it's really still a morally corrupt, we have morally corrupt people and women that are not particularly pleasant. And so I think it's still, all the action is so current to what you...
When you talk about, you know, moral corruption or women who might not be pleasant, it's also just fighting against the constraints that are put upon from, you know, societal expectations and societal limits and boundaries. And when you say you wanted a younger sort of Hedda and the cast of characters, it seems to me that this would really speak to a younger generation of who are going through, trying to find, you know, navigate, especially now with all the issues surrounding, you know, equality in work as well as, you know, in opportunities and the Me Too movement too.
Yeah, it's and funny enough, so this hadn't really started when I was even conceiving over a year ago. I mean, it was in the air, but not like the past recent year. But she's a strong woman trying to break out, but really doesn't have the courage until the final.
And women don't have to please people.
That's right. You're right. Absolutely.
Absolutely don't have to please people. You mm-hmm. know, they have, you know, there's the freedom to be not likable.
That's right.
And we should have that, right? In case you just joined us, you're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm Dimae Roberts. I'm talking with artistic director Sarah Slipper, and we'll be talking with dancer Andrea Parson as well, who is waiting here. Both are from the Northwest Dance Project's production of Hedda. If you missed any of this, you can hear it again on the podcast at stageandstudio.org and kbu.fm/stageandstudio. Andrea, I do want to bring you into this because you are playing the title role of Hedda, and you are a younger person, you
this
know, playing this role. How does this character speak to you? I mean, had you had much experience with Hedda Gabler in the past, and how did you take this on as a role?
Well, I had never heard of Hedda Gabler until Sarah asked me to read the play. It was a couple months before we started creation, and I did. I read it once, and then I read it again because it's from a time period, so it took me a while to understand.
Well, it's a whole other way of speaking, too.
A whole other way of speaking. Yeah. And when I was reading it, I was thinking, oh my gosh, there's so much subtext going on here. These characters are saying things, but they're really meaning other things. So I really had to read in depth and try to figure out what they're really talking about. And I think that what they're talking about is applicable to today. You know, it's about relationships and about jealousy and about control and all these things. And Hedda Gabler, for me, was she represents sort of a darker side of human nature. And I think that every human being has a darker side. You know, we're always making choices of who we're going to be. So I thought, okay, for me, Hedda Gabler is just a chance to get in touch with, you know, my dark side, to put it blatant.
In what way is that? Or do you see this as a sort of a darker side?
Well, I think, and maybe this isn't even quite dark, but it's the expression of dark emotions, anger, jealousy.
So she's much more emotional.
She's much more emotional, but even subdued too, because she's completely bored out of her mind. So she has that side too, that just that plain...
Well,
no,
there's
expression.
No expectation, is there, Sarah, of her ever, you know, doing anything with her life. And here's this intelligent, let's not, you know, forget that she's an intelligent and, I guess, wily woman, you know, and in order to get what, hopefully, what she can, she does manipulate, tries to manipulate her surroundings, which would be her people around her, and especially men. So there is that frustration when you are so smart and yet you are not expected to do anything with your life.
Exactly.
Other than be, you know, like a, you know, in the home and
a
taking
socialite.
Care of a man. Yeah, and being a little socialite, yeah.
Yeah.
Because she is from the upper crust, right?
She is. Mm-hmm. And I think the whole manipulation and drama is her creation. That's her creative expression.
That's her work.
That's her work.
So how do you approach a character like that? Because that's so out of what the modern day would be, right?
Right. You know, I'm obviously a dancer by profession, and so I've been reading some acting books, actually.
Really?
Yeah, and just trying to get a little bit of guidance as to how to find character and, you know, physically. You know, how can I change the position of my body to embody this character? Or how can I take things from my life, images or memories, and put them into her story so that the experience becomes more real for me?
That's... Well, you have to physicalize everything. And that's what I was going to ask you both about, you know, when you how do you take a classic play and then interpret it for dance? Because I've been reading it. So far, I haven't read that there has been a physicalization, you know, dance piece of Hedda Gabler. I think you're the first, Sarah.
I may be. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think his text is so, Ibsen's text is so brilliant. And the innuendo that's in the as Andrea said, the subtext is so, it's so spot on. That to translate some of the text literally is almost impossible, and it's paying homage to Ibsen, but it inspires me to say, how do you take all this language and then transfer it over to a physical language? And mostly I think the approach was, I'm inspired by it, but what does it make me feel? And then I try to help in the choreography transpose that over to some kind of physical language. And how I can interact so that we at least get a feeling, a quality of his words, not an absolute literal.
It's much more abstract. I mean, it's a 45-minute piece, so it's pretty literal.
No, it got a little longer.
Oh, it's longer than 45.
I've got quite inspired by the music.
Okay.
And
we just heard some of that music at the top of the show.
And it is composed for the work. So it has kind of stretched out. Thank you, Owen Belton, for being amazing, to about 65-minute work. So it's my biggest work yet.
Wow.
Biggest work. Biggest baby yet.
Well, it's nice that you can develop that. It's your company. It's, you know, you can stretch out the program.
It means I'm inspired.
Yeah.
Both on the floor.
Yeah.
It means something.
Well, there's so much to do in a two-plus-hour play to try to put into a
shorter
piece.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually probably 3-hour play, right?
And to make sense of it all, you know, to make sense of all of the characters and the development of it for them and to pay homage to Ibsen.
So, Andre, you know, when you portray Hedda Gabler's struggle to be a woman free of this societal constraint, what's the most, I guess, significant movement for you or the moments in your dance that that really speak to you as a young woman in the 21st century?
I would say definitely the duets that I do with two of the other characters in the movement. I think in those physical relationships, they are so physical, and I really have to, they give me something to push against and really give me something to reflect against as well. So I think in those relationships, those duet relationships with these male characters, I really, as a character, as a mover, have to find something within myself, within my character, that has to assert herself in a certain way.
Does it relate? Do you relate it to your own struggles? You know, because I mean, every woman, I mean, I don't care who, what class, what, you know, what color, you know, what you're dealing with can relate to trying to fight against pressure, you know, that's put upon you, you know, and the boundaries of what society seems to think a woman is supposed to be like. Can you relate to that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I would say that dancing this role in particular and in these duets is ultimately really empowering as a female.
That's wonderful for Sarah to hear, isn't it? I mean, because you hope that translates.
And
you know?
And she's taken it on. She doesn't leave the stage.
That entire time.
Has to hold. Even the moments when action is going elsewhere on the stage, she has to.
That's a long time for 65 minutes to be.
Hang on to it all. Yeah. It's quite a challenge.
Yeah.
But I think Andrea is very humble and whatnot, but she's a very experienced dancer and a very incredible performer and is always willing to go on the journey. And I have a phenomenal relationship with her that she just takes on these roles and embodies it and is open enough. And I'm very, very fortunate to have dancers like this.
Well, do you want to do a shout out for the other dancers and production designers and working on this production?
I have to tell you, it is our biggest production yet. And I, first of all, as I mentioned, Owen Belton is the composer. He's Canadian and he took this project on and he's worked in a lot in the film industry and video. And he's an incredible talent. Luis Crespo is doing our sets, a Spanish designer who worked on our Carmen last year, and again, put a production together that the greatest challenge probably is not just putting a fantastic production set design together, but also one that has to travel for touring.
Oh, are you going to be touring this?
So we hope to tour this.
Wow.
So we always have to say it kind of has to go in a suitcase.
Yeah,
can you imagine?
Yeah.
You know, and so the team, and then also I have to say, you know, just... I have a magical team with Jeff Forbes and Tira Hartshorn just because they help me put all these little things and lights, and it's a real team effort and people go on the vision. I mean, I have a close relationship with the company because I work with them and I know them so intimately and where their drives and their magic are and where they go. And so I have to say, to put something like this on, it's quite remarkably easy because they go for it. They trust you. It's an amazing
trust. And you've
worked
with them for a long time, and that helps
the it
whole
really
ensemble.
Does. Yeah.
Well, you paired with this, we should also mention, is Flamingo 37, which is a world premiere, also contemporary dance work. It's a commission from a Spanish choreographer. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, Cayetano Soto. We first bought Cayetano over to North America. We were the first people, the company, to bring him over. And Andrea had worked with him then, and he's a real talent, and his career after he worked with us just jetted. So it's taken about 10 years to get him back, and he wanted to come back, and a completely different work than Sarah Slipper's Hedda.
It sounds like it. You described that this is a full company work with creative staging, music from the lounge era, and costumes consisting of pink kilts and tops. That's completely 360 degrees
on
the other side.
We love it. There's a few more other surprises in it as well.
Well, maybe you need something a little bit lighter
after
you know, thinking about women's roles in society.
Yes, and it is. It's a real closer.
Yeah.
And Kitano's got quite a completely different language in dance, and it's a real honor to have him back, but it will be a real, you talk about a different turn. So I think it will be both challenging for the dancers because they're doing two completely different things on the stage.
And so the whole company's in that?
Yeah, the whole company's
in it.
Andrea,
are you in it too?
Yes.
So after dancing for 65 minutes, you come back and do another 15 minutes. Is it 15 minutes?
It's about 20 minutes.
20-minute piece.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think it'll be great. A great way to sort of shed the darkness of Hedda and then go into the light of Flamingo 37.
Wow. Complete turnaround. Yeah. Well, what a fun complete evening, too. Yeah. You know, something thoughtful and something that you can really, you know, maybe talk about after the show, but also something fun to celebrate right afterwards. You can catch the two world premieres of Contemporary Dance Works, Hedda and Flamingo 37. Both dances are performed together on March 15th through March 17th this weekend only at 7:30 p.m. Thursday, Friday, Saturday at the Newmark Theater in downtown Portland. That's located at 1111 Southwest Broadway in the Portland 5 building. Both for tickets, you can visit northwestdanceproject.org. It's nwdanceproject.org or call their box office at 503-828-8285. That's 503-828-8285. And you can also email them at info@nwdanceproject.org. I'm Dimae Roberts, stage and studio with my guest, Sarah Slipper, artistic director of Northwest Dance Project, and dancer Andrea Parson, who performs Hedda. And Sarah and Andrea, we've got a few moments here to talk about maybe just I don't know, just how is it for women in contemporary dance right now? I mean, you, Sarah, you started off at the Oregon Ballet Theater, right?
I was working with them as their ballet mistress, but my career was really
in contemporary dance.
Ballet, yeah, as well.
You went from classical to contemporary,
And that was up in Canada. And I've also been, I was just telling Andre, I've just been interested. Also, it was trained theater-wise, but I'm interested in new work. I'm interested not just myself in breaking boundaries. I'm interested in other choreographers and introducing new dance.
And you're coming up on your 14th anniversary of Northwest Dance Project since you founded it.
Yeah. Yeah, this is our 14th season now.
Wow.
Next year is our 15th. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's incredible. And it's about, I guess I just want to create new work for new audiences and, you know, so that we can absorb and see and challenge ourselves. And it's not just about my interest isn't just in my own work. Yes, I do have that, but I'm also interested in what a new generation is producing.
Well, yeah, I was thinking from the perspective of you know, a veteran choreographer and dancer, and then, you know, someone who, you know, is younger, you know, and what is it like for, as far as pay equity or opportunities in general for women in dance, maybe of your generation, Andrea, do you want to speak to that?
Yeah, I know that women definitely dominate the field of contemporary dance or dance in general. There's a lot more women dancers. But I think that now is a time when a lot of women are becoming creators, you know, creating their own dances and companies more and more. And I think this is actually kind of the time to do that because, you know, companies are, it's hard to find a dance company that you can dance in full time. Or, you know, a lot of dancers are freelance and they work project to project, which is also really challenging, not impossible. But what I see is that dancers and choreographers are going to start making work in order to sustain themselves as artists. I think that's the next step.
Do you see yourself doing that and maybe following the footsteps of Sarah Slipper here?
I do. I feel really inspired by my work and by watching Sarah choreograph and watching Caetano and other choreographers. I learned so much and am so inspired.
Well, you know, hopefully that's the one way to gain independence, you know, and being able to create more opportunities for yourself. But
yeah.
I would also wonder if the dance world in general could help do that more. Do you think, Sarah?
I think the contemporary dance world is actually ahead of the quote ballet world,
the classical world.
I think they're actually a little bit behind because just in the nature of the beast, classical dance tends to have a bit more of hierarchy, and it's been a little bit in the past 40 years more male leading.
It's institutionalized,
yes,
too, isn't it?
And so I think I would say there's much more opportunity, or you find many more women leaders in contemporary dance. And that was also been really, in some ways, historically, whether it was Martha Graham or, you know,
Twyla Tharp,
women. Yes. Yeah. So, and I still think that it generally, if you're going to pick and choose, there's probably many more women doing more independent companies and projects and whatnot.
Well, kudos to you. You know, next year will be your 15th anniversary. Yeah. So kudos to you for making it your own and then giving other people the opportunity to create work,
thank
too.
Thank you.
Sarah Slipper, Artistic Director of Northwest Dance Project, dancer Andrea Parson, thank you for joining me today.
And thank you.
Have a wonderful time on the opening weekend of HEDA.
It's
incredible. The world premiere of HEDA and Flamingo 37 are March 15th through the 17th, 7:30 p.m., Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Newmark Theater, 1111 Southwest Broadway, downtown Portland. Tickets, visit nwdanceproject.org or their box office at 503-828-8285, and we have all that at stageandstudio.org or kbu.fm/stageandstudio. Before we go today, a couple of shout-outs. I got a chance to see two productions that were featured on Stage and Studio. First up, Men on Boats, Talk About Breaking Boundaries of Gender. It's a play that everyone, male or female or of any age, should see. It's a true story of 10 male explorers who are mapping the Colorado River in 1869, and it's all portrayed by women. 10 fine actresses. They don't play men. They perform people who are explorers. And it really brings up questions about the navigating the boundaries of gender as well as this wild river as they map the Colorado River as explorers in the Grand Canyon. The play, directed by Maureen Porter, with imagination and pure physical energy, is moving, fast-paced, runs an hour, 40 minutes straight through without an intermission, and the show runs through March 24th, Thursday through Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. And it's all at Imago Theater, right across the street from KBOO at 17 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. Tickets go to thirdrailrep.org. Also not to be missed, Oregon Children's Theater's production of And in This Corner, Cassius Clay by Idris Goodwin. Letevin Alexander is stellar as young Cassius Clay. Damaris Webb plays his mom with warmth and love, and she also has impressive boxing choreography. It's a one-hour, she was a Golden Gloves winner, and it's a one-hour show that looks at civil rights movement through the lens of a young man finding his way to becoming a hero. The show runs through March 25th, Saturdays at 2 p.m. and 5 p.m. Sundays at 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. All shows are at the Winningstead Theater, and that's at 111 Southwest Broadway, downtown Portland. Tickets, call 503-228-9571 or octc.org. And I'm going to see Two Trains Running at Pass and Art. So that show runs through April 1st on Fridays and Saturdays, 7:30, Sundays at 3 p.m., and that's located at the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center Theater, IFCC, and that's located at 5340 North Interstate in North Portland. Tickets, visit passinart.org. Get all that info at stageandstudio.org and kbu.fm/stageandstudio. That's it for Stage and Studio. Thanks to engineer Judy Feistel. Hear it again, stageandstudio.org, kbu.fm/stageandstudio, and you can also like our Facebook page at facebook.com/stage-letter-and-studio. Till next time, I'm Dee Mae Roberts. We're going to go out with more music from Northwest Dance Project's HEDA.